I-10 headed westbound. It looks like, again, they might have things looking a little better through that area, but still expect heavy delays there. I-10 westbound.
It's a busy time of day on Interstate 10 just outside of Mobile. People are returning home after a long day of work. For many of these drivers, home means Baldwin County.
It's a smaller town with a big heart.
Dawn Biggs avoids the I-10 rush by living and working in the Baldwin County town of Daphne. She and her family moved here from the Midwest.
Everywhere you go, you get a hello. You get a how are you doing. People are eager to help you. They take you around. They invite you to church. They invite you to events. It's just a great place to be.
There are some big city problems to go along with that small town feel. Biggs and her family have also contributed to an almost 10% jump in Baldwin County's population since 2010. That's according to U.S. Census data released in late March. Baldwin County has surpassed the 200,000 population mark for the first time in its history.
Baldwin County is growing because it's like a great paradise.
That's Baldwin County Probate Judge Tim Russell. He has a theory when it comes to the migration of families to Baldwin. They come to visit for vacation and like it so much, they want to stay.
And I hear the story all the time. They come down for 2 or 3 years to the condos and to the water and the bays and the rivers, and they fall in love and say, I want to get down there and be part of it. So our greatest growth is in the retiree population.
And a study by Georgia Southern University shows this trend has been going on for a while. It says between 1980 and 2005, Baldwin's retiree population jumped by 200%. From Daphne, I hit the road for the city of Fairhope along U.S. Routes 90 and 98.
You can't find better merchants anywhere, but they also create an atmosphere. It has that European cafe flair to it a little bit.
There I meet up with Heiko Einfeld. He's the executive director of the Eastern Shore Chamber of Commerce. Einfeld says he's noticed the increase in population, which means more growth on the commercial side of things.
You know, it's always fun to, especially this time of year when you have this type of weather, it's beautiful, you know, to walk Main Street and see what's going on.
Einfeld and I walk across the street to Pinzone's Italian Village. The lunchtime crowd provides another snapshot of Baldwin's population. Most of the diners appear of retirement age.
It's really more of a cosmopolitan town.
The Village Deli is operated by John and Marianne Nelson. They have lived in Baldwin County for more than 40 years.
It still has a wonderful, friendly atmosphere. We have guests that come down for the summer to spend at Orange Beach and Gulf Shores, and it's a special place.
John recalls a time when a grocery store delivered goods right to your door. They don't do that anymore, but the Nelsons say more people in Fairhope means more customers.
People can live whether you want a nice, large piece of property, have horses, or you can live in a city.
Fairhope Mayor Tim Cant welcomes anyone who wants to relocate to his city or even other parts of the county. He says there's a little bit of something for everyone.
You can live at the beach, or you can live in North Baldwin where you have a lot of open hunting area and fishing area. So when you look at the diversity of places to live and work, I think that's what draws people to the Baldwin County area.
But in an ever-growing community, it's not without its problems. The Baldwin County school system is bursting at the seams. Here at Foley High School, there are more than 1,800 students. Temporary classrooms called portables are set up outside here and at Baldwin's six other high schools to make sure there are enough seats.
I rarely go back into the main building unless I have to.
Dr. Beth Taylor teaches animal and veterinary science in a portable called the Ag Shack.
It's almost impossible to navigate through the halls.
Just south of Foley High, Gulf Shores Elementary houses about 1,000 students. Christy Whitehead's classroom is heading to the library in the main building from her portable classroom.
We lose about 45 minutes of instructional time each day, commuting from the library. It's all the way in the front part of the campus.
She has about 25 students in a portable that should only hold 18. She has calculated how much time is used for just commuting to other places inside the school.
And just going to the restroom, water, lunchroom, PE.
One solution to Baldwin's school woes is money, but that's hard to come by. The Baldwin County School Board proposed a property tax hike to raise $1 billion to the school system over the next 30 years. The money would have gone to building new schools and closing most of the portables in the county. Voters said no.
And I had not experienced a day like that before.
That's Terry Burkle. She's the executive director of the Baldwin County Education Coalition, who was in favor of the new property tax.
People who were showing up were very angry, and you could see it on their faces. It didn't take the first hour that we knew it's likely we were not going to be successful.
Almost 46,000 votes were cast, about a third of the county's registered voters. We met Christy Whitehead at Gulf Shores Elementary.
It broke my heart because the next day, my children, you should have seen the look on their faces. They said, "Miss Whitehead, it didn't pass." And I said, "I know, baby, I know that." And they said, "Why?" And one little girl said, "Am I going to be in a portable the rest of my life?"
There are plenty of possibilities as to why the new tax referendum was shot down. Matthew Brown is the chairman of Educate Baldwin Now. He led the charge against the plan.
We want Baldwin County to have the best education system in the state. But a couple months prior to the election, we just independent group of citizens sat down, started talking about this, started looking at the numbers that were presented, and just had some big questions and decided to let the public know what those questions and concerns were.
Tax supporter Terry Burkle believes the school board could have done a better job of explaining why they needed the referendum to pass. She and the coalition would like more dialogue with the school board. The hope is to get the message out that what they are doing is for the benefit of the students.
We haven't been doing what we really need to do, and that's continue to inform and engage our citizens so that our citizens feel that ownership in our local schools. And I think the end will be an even better plan, an even better approach for addressing our growth challenges here in the county than we had previously.
Tax critic Matthew Brown says if that happens, progress can be made.
There were too many unanswered questions for us to commit to a $1 billion tax increase. There hasn't been an opportunity to say, hey, why don't you folks come in for a meeting and let's sit down and let's actually have a dialogue about this data to find out where it actually lands. And I think that that's going to have to happen before the people of Baldwin County are willing to really move forward on this.
In the meantime, the school system is heading back to the drawing board to come up with ways for more revenue to build more infrastructure. Back at the Village Deli, it looks like there won't be a lack of customers anytime soon. A new study from the University of Alabama's Center for Business and Economic Research predicts another 100,000 people could soon relocate to Baldwin County, meaning more kids in school and more customers jockeying for a table. For APR News, I'm Mackenzie Bates in Baldwin County.